Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back here to the ACC kickoff, part of the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill. I am Hollywood. I am the pregame host for Miami Hurricanes football, and I am joined by the postgame host for Miami Hurricanes football here on WQIM. He is also the host of the great Locked On Canes podcast, Locked On ACC podcast. Alex Dono is here with us this morning. Alex.
Hey, Hollywood.
How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's great to see you out here, and you had to remind me that I get to do the postgame, so hopefully we don't have any more Georgia Tech moments this coming season.
Yeah, I talked to some of those Georgia Tech guys earlier this week. That was interesting, to say the least. And, you know, we'll jump right into this. I did want to get to some of the recruiting stuff with you as well. But you look at the Hurricanes schedule, and all I keep hearing is it's favorable. It breaks nicely for them. There are a lot of winnable games. And then, like, in the back of my mind, it's like, man, they have struggled with so many of these games. And that Georgia Tech game, like you just mentioned, really kind of comes to mind. What needs to be the difference this year, right? The talent we know is there. They have the coaching. What needs to be different on the field to stop losing to the Georgia Techs of the world so you can finally take that next step and get to that ACC championship game this year?
Yeah, Miami has a history of, you know, losing a handful of games that they're supposed to win. And when I say supposed to win, I'm talking about the talent level seemingly being better than the talent level that they're facing. And so, to me, that seems more mental than physical, right? I mean, I'm sure you can go back in recent years and say, well, for some of these games, maybe if these guys had been healthy. I know a couple years ago the running back room was ravaged and the offensive line room was ravaged. So I think one of the things that can help the team physically is the fact that Miami appears to be deeper than they've been in many years, right? That, you know, you've got a really talented offensive line. God forbid anyone goes down and has to miss time. You should now have more capable backups. Same thing at the running back position when you have the luxury of adding someone like Damian Martinez. You already have Mark Fletcher and Chris Johnson and A.J. Allen. But to me, really, Miami needs to stop stepping on these mental landmines that we've seen them do over and over again. And, you know, hopefully they have the right attitude this year. Starting offensive lineman Inez Cooper was recently interviewed, and he talked about, you know, last year there were a few guys on the team that he said are no longer on the team that just weren't really in sync and didn't have the right mentality, and that negativity rubbed off on a lot of other guys. So I think getting the locker room right and the mentality right is important, because, you know, what you're saying about the favorable schedule, it is true. I mean, you look on paper, and really there's only two games on the schedule that I think Miami might be underdogs in. They'd probably be underdogs against Florida State even at home. That obviously depends on how both teams start the season, but preseason you would say they'll be underdogs against Florida State. Louisville on the road, maybe, but that would be tight. Miami is favored against Florida to start the season, so you're talking about probably 10 to 11 out of your 12 games, you're going to be favorites going into these games. So that's why you talk about a favorable schedule. You don't have Clemson on the schedule this year. You don't have NC State on the schedule this year. Those are two of the better teams in the ACC that you avoid this season. So to me, I think it's finally time for this team to have the mentality to go out there and not slip up against teams you should beat.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We're here at the ACC kickoff, and people come up to us, right, and they ask, you know, about the Canes and, you know, this guy, that guy, the talent and the coaching and all this. And, you know, I guess the answer that you give everyone now is, like, I don't know what else they can do, right? They are all in on everything, that, you know, from facilities to paying the right players, right? And it's kind of crazy to say that, but I mean, you got a quarterback in Cam Ward coming in. You have an elite coaching staff, one of the best coaching staffs in the country here. So it has to result in wins this year. I mean, I don't know what else you can do theoretically, right? If you know, you say that, all right, this didn't work, right? What else can you do? There's really nothing else. It has to work out for Miami this year.
Yeah, and you got some new important players that they have to find chemistry with one another. You know, I think in the case of Cam Ward, it was really important that he got in time for spring football. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a handful of other important players who haven't actually arrived until June, but I think for the quarterback, who's got to be in sync with everybody, him arriving in January and being around for spring was big. And, you know, just based on what I've seen from Cam Ward as a leader and the way he practices, he's exceeded my expectations so far. You know, he very quickly got to know and acclimated himself with his teammates. You know, some of these little things, like I talked to a number of his teammates that were really impressed. He knew everybody's name within 24 hours. I couldn't do that, right? And not just the 85 scholarship guys. He knew all the walk-on guys within 24 hours. He knew everybody's name, and, you know, he practiced really well. And then, of course, you've got to get everybody else on the same page. You've got, you know, some new players like wide receiver Sam Brown, who transferred in after spring. Damian Martinez transferred in after spring. Simeon Barrow and Tyler Barron on the defensive line. So, you know, you have to make sure that for all the offseason work that's being done and Coach Feld in the weight room and players get together to do their own off-schedule workouts, you got to make sure they're taking that stuff really seriously. Because Hollywood, by the time fall camp starts, I don't know if we have an official date for that yet. They may announce that this week. It's probably going to be either July 31st or August 1st. And then by the time fall camp begins, you've basically got a month or a little under that before you play Florida. So you've got to get everybody on the same page really quickly.
Well, one thing that we know Mario Cristobal is continuing to do is to crush it on the recruiting trail. He may be, you know, I'll tell you, Don, one of the best in the country, if not the best right now, as far as just hitting that recruiting trail and getting guys to commit to the University of Miami. I know another cornerback. Miami was able to get a guy out of LSU here. Tell us a little bit about some of these most recent commits that the Hurricanes have landed.
Yeah, the most recent commit, Jabori Antoine, who Miami was able to grab right out of LSU country. And it was Miami versus LSU was a big recruiting storyline last week, because LSU snatched up a Miami legacy in DJ Pickett, who's the top rated corner in the entire class, who had been deciding between LSU, Miami, and Oregon. And there had been a lot of smoke for Oregon. There had been some smoke for Miami. LSU went in and snatched DJ Pickett. And then a few days later, Miami gets Jabori Antoine, who was a former LSU commit who decommitted there from about a month ago. And a really good player. I mean, I think if you just go based on the recruiting rankings, which obviously only matter to an extent, but I think Jabori Antoine will be the top corner that Miami has landed rankings-wise since Tracy Howard more than a decade ago. I think I'm right on that one. So that was a big get for Miami. Miami also landed the number 5 safety in the country a few weeks ago, Hilton Drake Stubbs, which was a big get, one of the top interior offensive linemen in the country, SJ Olofaituli, Miami was able to grab. So, you know, there's been, you know, people were frustrated by the DJ Pickett miss, keeping in mind that recruitment's going to continue till National Signing Day. It's not over till it's over. People were frustrated by the DJ Pickett miss, but Miami's landed a number of other top players. They have a top 10 class in the country right now. We got about 5 months left to go in the marathon, but again, Mario Cristobal's doing a great job recruiting Hollywood, and it can get a lot better if Miami wins on the field. Miami goes out and beats Florida. If they have a strong start to the season, they could potentially be, I think, 4-0 before they hit ACC play against Virginia Tech. If they have a strong start, it's only going to make those recruiting efforts easier. If they don't have a strong start, that's when you're really going to have to hope the relationships are strong.
Yeah, boy, that Gator game is going to be important, isn't it? I mean, you talk about, obviously, Miami wants to get off to a fast start and wants to, you know, eventually get to that point where they can be competing for a playoff spot, right? That's the ultimate goal, and the playoff is expanded now, but man, that Gator game feels like it's going to have a lot of extra meaning. And you know, you look at the Gators, by the way, I don't know if you've had a chance to really look at that schedule that they have. They could theoretically not win a game. I don't know if they're going to beat Samford or not.
I was going to say, beat Samford.
I don't know if they're going to be too demoralized at that point, but I'm serious. You look at the Gators' schedule, I think they're over-under on wins. It's like, what, 3.5?
Four and a half.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule is brutal. But that game is just such a great way here for the Hurricanes to start the season. But it really is kind of a boom or bust situation, right? You win that game and you're feeling really good about yourselves. You're riding high. That game doesn't go your way, and it could be, you know, a shaky start to the season for Miami. But that game kicks off in what, about a month, 5 weeks from now? It's right around the corner. So we're looking forward to that one, of course. That should be quite a ball game. The Gators, they got a lot of question marks over there, and their coach certainly on the hot seat.
Yeah, and it's a tough place to play. I don't take that game for granted. 3:30 in the Swamp. So, you know, I'm not one of these Miami guys who's like, it's an easy win. I'm very nervous heading into that one. Now, I think that where Miami should probably have the biggest advantage, I think they're better in the trenches on both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, Florida definitely has some talent at the skill positions, and I think Graham Mertz is better than some Miami fans want to give him credit for, but I think Cam Ward is probably a lot better than Gator fans want to give him credit for. So I think Miami has the better team on paper, but, you know, you always, first game of the year, things can sometimes be a little sloppy. That could go either way. That could be a Florida issue or a Miami issue or both, and it is a tough stadium to play in. But, you know, if Miami can come out victorious there, that could really set the tone for a positive season. And then on the flip side, you talk about that Gator schedule. It's like, I don't even, like, how do you measure success for Billy Napier this mm-hmm. year? Because if, you know, he could go out there and go 6-6, which would actually be exceeding the Vegas expectations, and that still may not be enough for him to keep his job. So it's like, I don't know what the standard is from the Gator boosters and the money people, because again, like, if they win 7 games, that would, from where I sit, feel like a really good season for them. But I don't know if Gator fans would be happy about that.
You're 1,000% right. I can't see them, you know, winning more than 6 or 7 games. I think that would be an incredible season for those guys. But you're right, you cannot. And I know you and I can talk, or I can, you know, kind of look at, you know, the Gators. Oh, we're gonna go up there and beat them, but you can't. Certainly can't overload. They're loaded with SEC talent. I mean, they have the guys to compete. I think this is interesting. We were talking about this on the show a few days ago, and you looked at the Gators' schedule, and you see that they got Miami and they got FSU, and you look at, you know, the Hurricanes' schedule, right? And they have some tough non-conference games. They're gonna play the Gators, and they're gonna play South Florida. Both teams that are, you know, somewhat respectable, obviously. And I just wonder, at what point do teams stop scheduling difficult non-conference games, especially in the SEC, right? Because you look at the Gators, like, why would they even want any part of this game? You're like, well, they want the state championship. It's like, do they really? Like, don't they? Isn't the goal to get to the playoff? And, you know, for Miami or any of these schools in the, you know, power conferences right now, all you gotta do is win your conference and you're in. So do you get to a point where it's like, maybe we don't schedule these games anymore?
I think that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to get closer to what you're talking about. And there's been some buzz about the SEC, who they're currently at an 8-conference game schedule, of actually going to 9-conference games. Yeah. And if they were to do that, you're going to see them not scheduling nearly as many non-conference. Like, you definitely, I don't think you would see a game like Miami versus Florida happening. Now, Florida versus Florida State, that's because that one has stood the test of time. They've never altered that rivalry, so I wonder if they would keep scheduling that one. But, you know, in the case of the SEC and the Big Ten, they're turning into super conferences now, is essentially what you have there. So I could see an emphasis on their side to say, we don't need these difficult non-conference games as much. But I think if you're in the ACC and the Big 12, I think you need those as much as ever. But then if the SEC and the Big Ten don't want to schedule you in non-conference games, then you have to schedule more against one another. And, you know, we did have the announcement within the last couple weeks that Miami and Utah are going to open the 2027 season against one another in Las Vegas. That's a Big 12 versus ACC, so maybe we'll have to see more games like that.
Yeah, not an easy game, certainly, that the Canes put on the schedule. Alex Dono here with us. You do the Locked On ACC podcast as well, and we are here at the ACC kickoff, and there is a little bit of awkwardness in the air here, right, when you have the two big schools in the conference right now, FSU and Clemson, that are trying to force their way out and trying to sue. And you know, they want to be in the Big Ten. They want to be in the SEC. Now, Brett McMurphy comes out with the tweet that those conferences aren't interested in FSU. I tend to believe that if FSU is doing all of this and Clemson is doing all this, they must have some sort of assurance that they're going to get into a conference, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't spend all that time, money, and effort to end up in the Big 12 or something like that. I mean, the ACC and Big 12 seems like kind of on equal footing. But there's been a little bit of awkwardness. I know Commissioner Phillips, said, hey, we're not going to let these guys push us around. We're going to battle back. And, you know, it's a strange situation right now, and I get why FSU was upset, right? They won all their games last year. They deserve to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
That's how the system works. If you win your games, no matter, and it shouldn't matter if your quarterback's hurt or any of that kind of nonsense. You win your games, you should be in. But now it's definite. You win your games, you're in. So I don't know why the constant fighting here from Florida State and Clemson. It just seems like there's a lot of awkwardness going on right now in this conference.
Yeah, the commissioner yesterday, I was watching his press conference here in Charlotte. He was as animated as I've ever seen him, mm-hmm. because he usually, when he speaks, I get a little drowsy, right? But that wasn't the case yesterday. And I think he understands the importance of, if the ACC doesn't put up a fight against these legal challenges, if they were to settle or lose, creating favorable terms to Florida State and Clemson, you would have to wonder, Brett McMurphy has used this line before, does it become a conga line out the door, right? If Florida State and Clemson can get out easily or get out for cheap, you know, do the UNCs and the Miamis and the NC States just easily follow them out the door, which could potentially put the ACC in peril, right? So the commissioner is fired up about fighting all of this, so I think he understands this could be an existential threat for the ACC. And I think he rightfully brings up the fact that, you know, when people talk about the Atlantic Coast Conference, usually the first thing you associate right now with the ACC are the lawsuits. You think about Florida State and Clemson, arguably the two the biggest brands, at least based on on-field success lately. I don't want to diminish the U's brand, but two of your biggest brands are trying to get out of there. That's what people think about it. Commissioner Phillips talked about how distracting it is, how unfair it is to the student-athletes and everybody else involved, and he's not wrong about that because, you know, it's kind of unfair for everybody in the ACC that you think about, you associate lawsuits and fighting with this conference right now. So I think that's something he brought up. And then about the awkwardness, I think there's that awkwardness in the air. When you actually, you know, we got a chance to speak with Florida State players and Coach Norvell yesterday. Clemson's going to be here Thursday. They'll be here later this week. I actually think that the commissioner and the conference powers have done a pretty good job of compartmentalizing that. Like, we obviously, Mike Norvell and Florida State's players have nothing to do with any of this stuff, right? This is happening at the Board of Trustees mm-hmm. level, and it's happening with the legal team. So I think the ACC has done probably about as good of a job as they possibly can in limiting the awkwardness to when it's our legal team versus your legal team. So it's not been as awkward. With Florida State in the building yesterday, wasn't nearly as awkward as I thought. And, you know, Mike Norvell was asked a couple questions about it, but he can't answer them. Like, it has nothing to do with him, and I thought he handled the questions well. I thought the commissioner handled the questions pretty well yesterday. So bottom line here, though, Hollywood, is I don't think these lawsuits are going to be resolved anytime soon. I think it's going to take a couple of more years, potentially, before Florida State and Clemson find a new home. And for everything that McMurphy and some of the other reporters have been saying about, well, the Big Ten, maybe they're not interested, the SEC is not interested, you never know how that stuff could change over the next couple of years, right? Like, maybe they're not interested in pulling off some, like, coup right now where they try to steal these teams for next season or the following season or anything like that. But I think 2-3 years down the road, after this whole thing marinates and you get some kind of a peaceful resolution in these lawsuits, then maybe naturally Florida State and Clemson will find a home in one of the big two conferences.
Yeah, I just wonder how it's going to end up here. Are we just going to have two conferences when this thing is all said and done?
Or just a Super League.
Yeah.
That's been proposed as well.
You might have that. I'll tell you, though, it is very unusual to be sitting here on Radio Row in Charlotte, and we're talking about the Atlantic Coast Conference, and to see Stanford, you know, walking through the doors, to see, you know, the Fighting Joe Roses of Cal walk through the doors. Like, it's weird, man. And, you know, I'm talking to people around here, and it's like, yeah, I get it for football, right? You can make the trip for football. It's not the end of the world. But football is not the only collegiate sport that we have.
Bingo.
And I just think it just gets overlooked in the name of football dollars.
Yeah. Well, like I was looking at this article that came out a week or two ago that actually tracks the number of travel miles that every, and this is just football, the travel miles for every ACC team. And for, I think it was Joe's Cal Golden Bears that are going to be traveling over 20,000 miles this year. That's just the football team. That doesn't include the golf teams and the tennis teams and the swimming teams. So it's really the teams out west. Like for the teams that are in like the normal geographical traditional area of the ACC, you know, nobody has to go out west more than once. So it's not really going to affect the regular teams or the previous teams in the ACC as much. And obviously SMU is coming in, but Texas is not that far out of the geographical perimeter. But for Stanford and Cal, it's like I don't know how this is sustainable for them, because you got to put these athletic budgets together. And again, it's not just football. I mean, football is profitable at most Power 4 level schools, but for everything else, it's crazy.
I don't know how you do basketball. Let's look at basketball. Like, are you going to send them on an East Coast trip? Are they going to spend, you know, a month on the East Coast and hit the Carolinas, or, you know, the Miamis, Florida States? Like, I don't know how logistically you do that. And then I guess the other part of it, and I don't want to say nobody cares about this anymore, because I still care. I think it's important. But these guys are supposed to be going to class.
Right.
Right? You're supposed to, at the end of the day, how many of these guys are going pro in athletics, right?
I guess a lot of Zoom classes are going to happen.
Yeah, but like, how many of these guys realistically from Cal or from any of these schools are going pro in you know, on all these sports? And it's like, yeah, there still is value in getting to class and doing all that stuff. And I don't know how you end up, you balance being a student and traveling around the country to play in these games. I think that'll be the interesting thing to see, I think, for the kids.
Well, it kind of makes me wonder, like, if there ever is further expansion in the ACC. You know, I look at a couple of the universities that are free agents right now. Oregon State and Washington State are still out there. Right. Like, they're still technically in the Pac, whatever. It's the Pac-2. And they have a scheduling alliance now, I think, with the WAC. But they don't technically have a conference, so it's like, I mean, it might make sense. Maybe you add a couple more West Coast teams. You create a West Coast division, and they play. They don't have to come out east as much. They play each other more. I wonder if that's something that they could look at in the future.
Well, Dono, as we wrap this one up here, it is Canes Day here for us today on the show. So we'll have Mario, Cam Ward's going to be with us, Jalen Rivers, Kiko Maui-Noah, they'll all be here with us on the show today. You talk about leaders, man. Those are some good leaders here that the U is going to send up for these media days here in Charlotte. That's a pretty strong group.
Yeah, it's a great group. I'm glad Jalen Rivers is coming, locking it down, because he's a homegrown talent at Miami. He's been here, I think, his fifth year now he's entering. And Cam Ward is a great leader and a great speaker. And Kiko, that dude, probably the most underrated linebacker in the country, because I don't see him showing up on any of like the preseason All-America teams. But I look at the year that he had last year, 18 tackles for a loss, 7.5 sacks. He was really the heart and soul of that defense last season, along with Reuben Bain, who's another great one. But I think Kiko's going to have a great final year.
If you can, Dono, please plug the podcast for us before we let you run here.
Yeah, thanks so much. So, yeah, obviously today throughout Wednesday we'll have a lot of material on Locked On Canes, and we've had a lot of material throughout the week as well on Locked On ACC. Those are two separate shows. I host both of those. My co-host on Locked On ACC, Kenton Gibbs, he gets very passionate when talking about this conference realignment stuff, so we'll be covering that. And, of course, I get very passionate when I'm talking about my Canes. So Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC.
All right, he's Alex Dono, also handles handles the post-game show here on WQAM for Miami Hurricanes football.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.